The scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, the proclamation of John the Baptist. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." May the Lord bless the reading of this, his holy word.
I'm thankful to our sister in Christ for those words of truth that can be trusted. And I'm grateful for these words that are alive in our lives today. Join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you've given us, and we give you the praise. Thank you for how you work. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your grace. We turn to you once again. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Amen. Street preachers probably have gotten a bad name. In fact, they definitely have. I remember one called Bro Cope at Penn State University campus. As I was an undergraduate there, he would stand on a perch about this high, about this distance above everybody else here, and start screaming things at everybody that walked by. Now, there were some that I'm sure listened, and some that heard, but there were others that just kind of made a mockery of him. Was there something good to what he was saying? Probably something was good in what he was saying, but it was lost in some of the rhetoric. Let's go ahead and try this one, John. Thank you. It was lost in some of the rhetoric of him screaming and yelling and cursing and spitting and spewing out all sorts of negative things at those who were passing by. What's important for us to remember is it's not the messenger, is it? It's about who is working through the messenger. And if there's a humility on the part of the messenger and a graciousness on the part of the messenger, then the one who works through that person, God, will be blessing all of those who hear the words. I mention that because in our beliefs, in Christianity, there are things that words, terminology, that people kind of have an aversion to. It's kind of like if you ever hear somebody scraping their fingernails on a chalkboard. Just think about that for a little bit. Let me let you think about that. No, you don't have to think about that anymore. It's uncomfortable. Repentance is one of those phrases. Repentance is something that generally Christians want to think about during Lent. Okay, Pastor, it's Lent. I'm ready to repent. I'm ready to put on the ash cloth. I'm ready to go ahead and flagellate myself. I'm ready to think about all those ways that I'm not a good person. Woe is me. So during the season of light, we have trees up, we have wreaths up to think about repentance. It's a perfect time because we need to reclaim the word repent in its full meaning, what it actually means. It means to turn back to God. It means to face God. Whenever you're talking to someone face to face, you're not going to lie to them, hopefully. You're going to go ahead and share with them. You're going to feel more comfortable. Things are going to start flowing out, aren't they, whenever you talk to somebody face-to-face? If it's over the phone, if it's email, if it's in a letter, there are limitations that are built in. But when you're talking to someone face-to-face, you can have a come-to-Jesus meeting and just tell them all the ways that they really need to be focusing on God. You can go ahead and do that with God as well. A face-to-face with God to be able to say, Lord, these are the things that are troubling me. Lord, these are the things and the ways and the times which I don't think that you were in my life. Lord, these are the ways that I'd like you to be in my life. You can lay anything and everything before God. And that's, in essence, what John's message was. You know, in the first service, I kind of gave a description of how I think John looks, and it's not necessarily important, although we think about that. Any guy eating locusts and honey and wearing camel hair and a leather belt around, that's kind of an interesting looking critter, isn't it? No question. And standing in the River Jordan, miles out of town, I mean, it's like us all traipsing out of here and walking over to Welton to be able to watch a guy baptizing people in the river because we've heard things about him. The important thing is who John was pointing to. He was pointing towards God. He was pointing to God in all of his power, in all of his mercy, in all of his forgiveness, and in all of his love. Certainly, there's that other part of Scripture as well where John says, "You brood of vipers!" Not really Merry Christmas, is it? And goodwill to all men. But he was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was talking to those individuals who are more interested in memorizing rabbinic law and being sticklers for the law and pointing out how other people were wrong according to the law. They were more interested in that than actually being the people of God or being changed from the inside out. That's why whenever he saw those individuals that were legalist, that were religious but not necessarily faithful coming towards him, that's how he responded in that way. He said, I know why you're really out here. You're here to get me in trouble. For us, we are called maybe not to go out into the desert, find a river, put on camel hair. You know the rest of the story. But we are called to be transformed from the inside out. We are called to repent. In other words, to turn back to God. Let me define that a little bit more. There's language and imagery also of roads being made straight, isn't there, in the Scripture? And there's a prophecy also of one to come to pave the way. I don't know if you've ever driven in the state of Pennsylvania. Has anybody ever driven in that state? Okay. Has two of the worst roads rated by truck drivers annually, at the Pennsylvania Turnpike and Route 80. So for me, and for coming from a state whose state flower is the traffic cone or the state symbol, you know, to make straight the path and to think about a straight and a nice path to travel and a nice road to be on, being out in Arizona has been fantastic. I mean, anybody that claims, you know, complains about roads out here, Come to Pennsylvania. I'll show you something. Making straight the path. A king came to town in ancient times. There was an awful lot of road work that went on. There was an awful lot of cleaning out, of clearing out, because if a robe was like this and like this and like this, then they needed to go ahead and clear off a lot of the unnecessary things, make that path straight so that it was an easy and safe journey for the king. Okay, that's what happened. For the journey of Christ into our hearts, what do we need to do to clear things out? To make it an easy path for the king to renew us, to enter into our hearts again. What do we need to do? Repentance is just that. Turning back to God, receiving his forgiveness, his hope, and starting anew. Repentance is directly connected to hope and to promise. Whole new way of looking at it, isn't it? When you think of repentance now and repent, I hope you think of it in a different way, because it really points to God wanting to be in your life in a more deeper, nurturing, loving way. Getting back to that road, getting back to that entrance of Christ once again, that birthing of Christ in us deep inside. What is it that we need to do to allow him to be in us in an even more full and abundant way? My friends, God wants to bless you. Not because I'm saying it, but because his word shares that. This Advent season, the season of God coming, approaching us before we even ever think about him, always, always coming towards us, even when we're walking away from him, always at work in us, even when we're not thinking about him. This season is very much about rebirth, about renewal. Repentance is like cleaning out the closets, getting a fresh start, recognizing that God is with you from here on out. It's a wonderful Sunday to be here because we also have these elements of hope that remind us exactly what God has intended for us. That we would be the body redeemed by the blood. In other words, that we would be forgiven. When we turn back to God, we don't have to worry about getting our wrists slapped. Rather, we have to be open and ready for the embrace of grace. That's good stuff, isn't it? These elements point to that. That wonderful joy of knowing God personally through Christ. This table is open to all who are gathered here. It is a table of celebration. It is a table that reminds us that God continues to work. We turn back to God every time we worship him. So you've turned back to God. You've repented once again this morning. And as we turn back to God, we receive that hope. And in these elements, we know that God will never, ever forget us or leave us. I'd ask that the servers come forward at this time. The communion servers, please come forward to the table as the elements are blessed and consecrated. Jesus gathered, and John was talking about Jesus whenever he said, "There's one that's going to be coming after me that will really bring change." Jesus gathered with his disciples far after this event that was described in the scripture this morning and said to them, "This is not just bread for your stomachs. This is my body, and it's broken for you. It's given for you."
As you receive this, know that God will be with you through the good and the bad, through all seasons, as you keep him number one in your life. The body of Christ, broken for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And after the supper, he poured out the cup. And as he did that, he said extraordinary words, sharing with all those who were gathered, "This is my blood. This is not just wine to quench your thirst. This is my blood shed for you. It is shed for you for forgiveness, so that you can live freely, open to share God's love, and allow others also to drink in the goodness of God's grace." The blood of Christ shed for the people of God. Thanks be to God. After the communion stewards are served and go to the stations, you'll be directed forward by the ushers. This is an open table. That means each and every person, each and every one of you, is welcome to receive this touch of God's grace.